the holiday movies she'd once loved to mock. But surprisingly, she didn't hate it. The whole thing was very different from her mother's professionally decorated trees that she had in nearly every room of their house, each with a different theme, making the house feel like a Christmas museum. Whereas this little tree, with its hand-me-down ornaments, felt cozy, homey. It was an entirely new type of Christmas, one she was making with Bennett, one she'd never forget. She sighed, tossing herself onto the couch, exhausted from removing her boots and outerwear. "Winter is so hard," she groaned, snuggling into the dog's warm bodies. "Why did you pick a farm so far north?" Bennett asked, as he hung up his coat in the hall. "Trying to get as far from home as possible," she said through the blanket door. Also, winter seemed pretty theoretical at the time. Bennett appeared back in the room a minute later. "Why not California?" "Too expensive. Too earthquakey."
"Right."
Right. Maybe in some other timeline, some other dimension or whatever, Kira and Ben would have met in California. Maybe their lives would have fit together better. Maybe she wouldn't have had to let him go. But maybe she didn't live in whatever timeline that was. She was here, in the winter. He sat down on the other side of the dog's laptop on his lap. "Got a few things to finish up." "Sure, of course." He'd been fitting in his work in between loading trees onto cars and filling in for Iris when she'd come down with the flu. Guilt had been Kira's constant companion. He was doing too much for her. Kira grabbed one of Edwin's old letters from the stack she'd gathered on the coffee table. She'd been going through them, looking for clues about where he'd hidden his treasure. But so far she found nothing but smut. She'd also spent a few evenings sorting through the boxes in the attic. But besides a few boxes of old books, she hadn't found anything valuable. Yet. She was still holding out hope for a Christmas miracle. Her phone vibrated in her pocket, and she pulled it out. "Oh, it's Chloe, FaceTiming. Do you mind?" she asked Bennett.
"Go for it."
"Hey, Chloe." She smiled at her sister's face. "Kiki." Bennett gave a little snort at the nickname, and Kira nudged him with her foot. "God, you're hard to get hold of lately. I'm a very important business owner." She said it with a self-deprecating laugh, but Chloe beamed. "I know. I'm so proud of you." Heat flooded Kira's face as her sister went on. "I was worried about you at first. There were a few times you really looked a mess. I mean, like, really bad." "Okay, Chloe, I get it. Thank you." She didn't need Ben to hear exactly how much of a hot mess she had been. Not that he hadn't seen plenty of it himself. Her sister tipped her head to the side, studying Kira, her dark eyes seeing everything. "You look different." Kira shrugged.
"Same old me."
"No." Chloe shook her head, her glossy hair flowing like dark waves over her shoulders. "No, you're like glowing or something." Then her eyes lit up in a way that made Kira wish she'd left the room to take this call and risk freezing to death. "You're getting laid!" her sister exclaimed triumphantly, and Kira wanted to dissolve into the cushions. Bennett chuckled softly at the other end of the couch. "That's not it. That's definitely it. You are aglow with orgasms." "Maybe I gave them to myself." Bennett shifted in his seat, a blush working his way up his neck. Kira bit down on a smile. "Oh my God, is he there right now?" Chloe looked like she would climb through the screen if she could. Nope. Liar. I'm not a liar. It's nothing, okay? I met a guy in town, we hooked up, and that's it. Really." She wished that was a lie. She wished Bennett was no more than a hookup. But there was no point in telling Chloe about it, about him. Just one more thing for her sister to worry about. Chloe narrowed her eyes, still not quite believing her. "Well, he must have been pretty damn good. Your skin looks amazing." Bennett stood and gestured toward the kitchen, excusing himself from having to hear more of this painful conversation. "I'm staying hydrated." Chloe nodded. "Good. So, how are things with you?" A small frown crossed Chloe's face.
What's the matter?
Oh, just a little homesick, I guess.
Homesick? What do you miss more, Dad's disapproving silence or Mom's disapproving lectures?
Chloe huffed.
I miss you, you idiot.
Kira's heart ached.
I miss you, too.
So you're not going home for Christmas? Chloe asked.
No, although I did receive Mama's engraved invite for the Christmas Eve party.
Oh, Lord, I hope you RSVP'd promptly. You know how she hates a late response.
Kira laughed. I sent that thing right back with my, I regretfully decline, faster than you could say, there's not a chance in hell I'd go back for that pretentious party.
We'll have to go back eventually.
Kira frowned. It had taken a lot out of her to leave. She didn't want to think about going back. Not now. Not when she was just getting her footing.
I suppose, but not today. I doubt Mama was torn up about it.
Your Southern is coming out, Chloe teased, her own accent thickening the longer she spoke.
Kira could feel it happening, her words slowing down, thick and syrupy like the sweet tea Elaine used to make in the summer.
Hush your mouth, Kira gasped, and Chloe giggled at the phrase. Well, I declare, sister, you look madder than a wet hen.
Kira's laughter joined Chloe's.
Remember how Meemaw always used to say that about Mama when we get our good shoes dirty?
Oh, I remember.
I remember you always covered for me, telling Mama tall tales about boys that splashed mud on us, even though we'd stomped in the puddles on the way home.
Chloe shrugged.
It wasn't like we didn't have plenty of shoes. Surely we could ruin a pair or two.
Their laughter died down. Maybe there were a few things Kira did miss about home, but it was all wrapped up in her sister. She was sure that wherever Chloe was would feel like home to her. But her sister was married to a Dane who designed those ubiquitous plastic toy building blocks for a living, and she wasn't coming home anytime soon.
Kira, is that a Christmas tree?
Chloe's eyes grew in surprise.
Oh, yeah. Had to play the part of the Christmas lover if I'm going to sell Christmas trees.
Chloe was studying her again, like she could tell that a sexy man had cut down that tree for her and helped her decorate it, and that they made love by the glow of its lights every night, and that Kira felt like she was building a home with someone else who would leave her. Instead, she just smiled.
I'm really happy you're happy there, Kiki.
Thanks, Chloe.
Let me let you go.
Kira smiled at the phrase, another one from their childhood.
Okay. Love you. Love you.
Kira snuggled into the closest dog, trying to swallow the emotions that always bubbled up after talking to her sister. Her childhood had been cold and strict in some ways, and incredibly permissive in others. Her parents, mostly her mother, had incredibly high standards for her and Chloe, the way they looked, the way they talked, the way they behaved. Appearances were everything. Which was why Kira had spent so much time and energy doing everything in her power to fight against those restraints. And when she fell, when she screwed up, made a spectacle, her father's money had always been there to bail her out. It was a toxic way to grow up. She didn't need a therapist to tell her that.
Is it safe to come back in?
Bennett peered in through the blanket door. Or are you still discussing my sexual prowess? Kira chucked a pillow at him and he laughed.
What?
He said, rejoining her on the couch. I can't help it if I make you glow.
Oh, shut up.
He grinned. She grinned back. Stupid and selfish to her very core. She gave the dogs between them a gentle shove, and they hopped down to find Elizabeth in their doggy bed. Kira moved and straddled Bennett's lap, his work put away for the day. He raised his eyebrows.
I have a glow to maintain, she said.
He laughed a little, but the amusement didn't reach his eyes.
Good thing your local hookup is here.
That's what this is, right?
She hated the look of hurt on his face. This would be so much easier if she was the only one getting hurt here.
We agreed.
She leaned forward, kissing his neck. His hands grabbed her ass and tugged her closer. He was already hard against her.
I know. He groaned a little as she sucked on his neck,
letting her tongue run against the roughness of his stubble. Sometimes, well, it feels like more than that.
It isn't more than that. It can't be.
She ran her hands through his hair, giving a little tug.
Now, let's see that sexual prowess you were just bragging about.
He hesitated for a breath, like he might argue further, but instead he slapped her ass and growled at her to strip, which she happily did, as quickly as her layers would allow. This was good. This was better. Just sex. A holiday fling. Something they would sweep away after Christmas, along with the fallen pine needles littering her floor.
Come here, he demanded.
He was still sitting on the couch, and he'd shed his own layers, so he was sprawled naked on the cushions.
I think I need some of that glow.
His smirk was wicked, and Kira loved it when he was like this, when he shed his niceness and let his true desires show through.
Get on your knees for me, Peaches.
A tiny part of her bucked at the command, but the rest of her reveled in it. She liked when he took charge here during sex. It felt good to give in, to give to him instead of take. But she also liked to torture him a little bit, so she stood in front of him a breath longer, letting him look his fill. And she did the same. It would take decades, or a head injury, for her to forget the way he looked in the honey-gold light of the fire, spread out on her couch, long limbs, broad chest. His cock hard and heavy, his dark hair already mussed from her fingers, his storm-gray gaze locked on hers. Merry Christmas to her.
Kira.
Her name was a warning. She grinned and dropped to her knees. Bennett groaned, and the sound had her pressing her thighs together, needing the pressure, already feeling like she would burst if he didn't touch her. He wrapped his hands in her hair and tipped her head back so her gaze locked with his. She licked her lips and his eyes darkened. He tugged on her hair and her lips parted on a whimper. He ran his thumb reverently across them.
Perfect, he rasped.
She sucked his thumb into her mouth, sinking her teeth into the soft pad of the thumb, needing a physical release for the emotions his words and his gaze sent tumbling through her. She didn't want to feel feelings right now. She just wanted to feel good. With a twirl of her tongue, she released his finger. She wrapped her hand around his erection and relished his sharp intake of breath when she gave his cock a few rough strokes. He still held her gaze, and there was too much in that look, too much for her to handle, so she leaned forward and took him in her mouth with one slick slide. His groan joined the crackling of the fire as the only noise in the room. His hand was still fisted in her hair, and little sparks of pleasure and pain radiated from her scalp when he tugged on it, guiding her head, his hips thrusting mindlessly, his cock sliding between her lips. And then Bennett, Mr. Fix-It, the too nice, too wholesome man she'd initially rejected, let the filthiest words flow from his perfect mouth.
Fuck, Kira. You take my cock so good. You're so beautiful on your knees for me.
Another tug on her hair and she whimpered around him. He groaned.
Such a good girl. Swallow me. Take it all.
The words washed over her, the heat of them searing her, the ache between her legs growing. She took him and she gave him all of her in this moment, because it was the only way she could, the only way that made sense. Another tug of her hair, and she was off her knees, and Bennett was pulling her to him, and she was straddling him again. He kissed her swollen lips, praising her and whispering things he shouldn't say, things he shouldn't think. Things about how perfect she was, how beautiful, how right she was for him. Things about the future. Things about staying. She guided his erection into her, taking all of him in a fast, hard tilt of her hips, and his forehead dropped to hers. His words stopped. His storm cloud eyes met hers, and he knew not to say those things anymore. She rocked her hips, seeking pleasure, seeking release, seeking a distraction. It didn't take long to find it. It built with every thrust, every rock of her hips. Bennett's fingers digging into her hips, the flesh on her ass. And when she was so close, he thrust up into her, hard, and Kira broke, sobbing in his arms, thinking things she shouldn't think either. Things about how perfect he was, how beautiful, how right he was for her. Things about the future. But because she was trying to be a better person, she didn't say them out loud. Chapter 23. 5 days before Christmas, and Jeannie was at his door. Well, Jeannie was at Kira's door, where he'd basically been living for a week, against all his better judgment. But Kira had asked him to come back after the snowstorm, and he wasn't going to say no to that offer. He thought she would pull away. She sure as hell tried to, and he was willing to accept that outcome. But when she called, he came running. He wasn't in the mood for assessing what that meant about him or them or anything, really. He'd woken up with a naked Kira in his arms, and that was all he really felt like thinking about today. Except for right now, when he needed to talk to his sister. "He lives," Jeannie teased when he opened the door. "Ha ha."
"Hi, babies."
Jeannie ignored him to greet the herd of dogs who'd followed him to the door, barking their welcome.
"Hello, hello, hello,"
she crooned as she petted and scratched each dog in greeting. Eventually, she remembered he was standing there.
"I've been texting and you haven't responded. I haven't seen you in days."
She peered over her shoulder as she admonished him, clearly trying to get a glimpse of Kira, nosy thing that she was. "The signal is spotty here. Sorry." His sister didn't need to know that little problem had been fixed weeks ago, or that he'd been avoiding her. Jeannie eyed him suspiciously. "And?"
"And what?"
"And what the hell are you doing here, Bennett?" she stage whispered. "You come to town to visit me, and then you just shack up with Kira? What's going on?"
And then her eyes lit up in a very dangerous way.
"Wait, is it serious? Are you moving back east?"
Bennett shushed her while he grabbed his coat from the nearby hook. He nudged his sister back out the door and onto the porch. It felt wrong to invite someone into a house that wasn't his, no matter what pretending he'd been doing lately. Plus, Kira was just in the shower. He didn't need her coming downstairs to this conversation. "It's not serious," he told Jeannie once they were safely back outside. She looked at him like he was the dumbest man in the world, which might not be that far off.
"You moved in with her, bro."
"I mean, not really.
Bennett!
Okay, I mean, yes, I'm staying here for the rest of my vacation, but that's it."
"Why?"
"Why what?" Jeannie let out a little groan growl of frustration.
"Why isn't it serious? Why can't you stay?"
"I have a life in California, a job and an apartment and friends. I can't just..."
"Do you even like it there?"
"I like it fine."
"But don't you miss us? You could see me and Mom and Dad so much more if you lived on this coast, and now if you and Kira have a thing going, it makes even more sense. And you have told me on multiple occasions that your job can be done remotely, so..."
Bennett swallowed hard. Why did all this sound so reasonable coming out of his sister's mouth? Probably because she knew nothing about Nicole, or just how bad his people-pleasing tendencies went, and how he was trying to finally break them. "It's not like that. That's not what she wants." She raised a dark eyebrow.
"And what do you want?"
He sighed. "Well, right now, I want this conversation to be over, and I'd love to know what you're doing here." His sister stared at him for another moment, like she might continue the interrogation, but it was freezing out this morning, and her breath hung in a cloud between them. Time was limited. She gave up with a sigh.
"Fine. I just wanted to finalize Christmas plans with you."
The door opened behind him.
"Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were out here."
Kira was dressed for the day, her fur-lined hood framing her beautifully flushed face. He wanted to kiss it, but he didn't need to give Jeannie any more ammo to use in her argument for him staying here forever.
"Don't apologize, it's your house."
Jeannie smiled and Bennett sensed danger.
"Actually, it's good that you're here. I was just trying to finalize Christmas plans with Bennett."
"Oh, well, Kira began uncertainly. Jeannie plowed forward.
Logan and I will be spending it with his grandparents, and I assumed Ben would be coming.
He nodded. Yep, sounds good. Thanks for confirming. He tried to escort his lovely sister from the premises, but she didn't budge.
And now that you and Ben are such good friends, Jeannie's smile grew, you should come too.
I couldn't possibly impose like that. Kira held up her hands like she could fend off his sister with her body, but Ben just shook his head. There was no stopping Jeannie now.
It's not an imposition at all. It's very informal. Plenty of other friends will be dropping in all day.
Jeannie took Kira's hands in hers.
Please come. It'll be fun. And you can't stay up here all by yourself.
Emotions flickered across Kira's face, but Bennett knew Jeannie had delivered the fatal blow. Kira didn't want to be alone. It was at least half the reason she'd let him stay. There were times he worried it was the only reason.
Her gaze flicked to his, uncertain, like she didn't know if he would want her there, when in reality, the only reason he didn't want her there was because he wanted her there too much. I guess I could stop by.
Wonderful, Jeannie beamed. I will let Nana know to expect you.
She turned to go, and Bennett nearly let out a sigh of relief. Nearly.
Oh, and Kira?
She zeroed in on Kira again, her dark eyes dancing in the morning light.
I'm so glad you've been keeping my brother company while he's in town.
Kira gestured between them, her hand flapping uselessly before she dropped it in defeat.
Bennett has been helping.
Her words trailed off as Jeannie's smile grew.
I bet he has. Jeannie, he groaned. I'm going.
She scurried down the stairs with a wave before Bennett could throw her into the nearest snowbank. This was why he didn't make a habit of filling Jeannie in on his dating life. For one, she was horribly embarrassing. For two, he could tell she was already getting too attached to the woman he was already too attached to. Perfect. There was absolutely no way this wouldn't make his life more complicated. Merry freaking Christmas. He should have stayed home. And then things got just a little bit worse.
Hey, Jeannie,
Kira called, and his sister stopped in her tracks.
Iris invited me to a wreath-making class tomorrow night. Any chance you'd like to come?
Jeannie's face lit up like a Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
Kira smiled in return, and though Bennett was happy she was making friends here, he really was. Did that have to include his sister? Jeannie waved as she climbed into Logan's truck. It concerned him that she drove that monstrosity.
See you tomorrow, Kira. Bye, Bennett.
All he could do was stand there and wave goodbye, even as the tide of Dream Harbor threatened to pull him under. Kira pulled up in front of the tiny florist's shop on Main Street at 7:30 the next night. She'd left Bennett cozied up on her couch with the dogs, and it had felt strange breaking the seal on the little world they'd created over the past week, but it felt important. If she was going to live here, it was about time she started to actually live here, and not exclusively on her own property. Other than the evening Iris had dragged her out skating, she hadn't left the farm for anything fun. She was in the process of taking a deep breath because, for whatever reason, she was nervous, probably something to do with the fact that she'd never had to try and make friends before, when Jeannie tapped on her window and scared the ever-loving shit out of her.
Jesus, she gasped, grabbing her chest. She gave Jeannie a weak smile and a wave.
Jeannie waved back, all smiles, but there was something so genuine about her that Kira found herself smiling, too.
Hi, Jeannie, she said, climbing out of her car into the cold night air. You came!
Of course. I invited you.
Jeannie shrugged.
And it was such a nice invite, but I was planning to come anyway. You, though, you're a bit of a wild card, so I'm glad you showed up.
She smiled and took Kira's arm, steering her toward the shop.
Iris is leading the class, oh, you know that, of course, and Hazel's coming, and I told the book club about it, so hopefully some of them will come, too. Oh, do you read romance?
Did Edwin's smutty letters count? Jeannie waved away her hesitation.
You should join anyway. It's fun and totally helped me when I moved to town.
Why did you move here?
We used to visit when we were kids.
Bennett didn't tell you?
No, he didn't mention that.
Oh, well, yeah, our aunt lives here, and I moved last year to run the cafe. But we always loved visiting her. I thought maybe the memories of being back here might convince Ben to stick around, but...
She trailed off with a shrug and pushed open the door to the shop, leaving the thought of Ben sticking around in Dream Harbor, lingering in the air.
There they are!
Iris beamed from behind a long rectangular table that was covered in pine boughs and ribbons.
Hi, Iris, Kira said, taking in the room.
It was small, with a counter at the back for the register. A refrigerator in the corner was filled with roses, and the room was lined with red and white poinsettias. The middle of the room had two long trestle tables for the class. Most of the chairs were already filled with people. Some she recognized, some were new faces.
Come take a seat. We'll get started soon.
Iris gestured to a couple of empty chairs, but Jeannie was too busy saying hello to everyone to sit right away.
Kira, you remember Hazel? She said.
Of course. I never forget the people who saved my ass. Hi, Hazel.
Hazel smiled. That was a fun day, for us anyway. I hope you found some more reliable help.
Well, my brother's been spending an awful lot of time at the farm since that snowstorm, Jeannie put in suggestively.
Oh?
Hazel asked, her eyes lighting up.
Has Bennett been helpful?
God, this town loved gossip. Kira really needed to find a better way to say they were just having lots of amazing sex before Bennett had to return to his real life, but she hadn't come up with anything yet, so she just stammered her way through it.
He's really great.
Hazel smiled.
He seems really great.
Jeannie and Hazel stared at her, waiting for her to go on, to explain what the hell was going on between her and Ben, but she had nothing more to say about that. How do you tell someone that their brother is a gentleman on the streets and a beast between the sheets? She was pretty confident there was no polite way to do it. Finally, they relented and went back to introductions.
Anyway, this is my mom, Maureen.
Hazel gestured to the woman next to her, who was deep in conversation with another woman about the environmental sustainability of vegan meat substitutes.
Mom, this is Kira.
Hazel tapped her mother on the shoulder.
The new Christmas tree farm owner.
Maureen tore herself away from the discussion of tofurkey to say hello.
Nice to meet you, Kira.
As she turned to her, Kira was subjected to the full glory of the Christmas sweater Maureen was wearing.
Are those your dogs? She asked.
Maureen glanced down, like she'd forgotten what she was wearing.
Oh, yes, those are my babies, Frida and Diego, she beamed.
They are so cute. Hazel rolled her eyes, and Maureen nudged her. Don't get jealous, Haze. You're cute, too.
You're insane, Hazel said. You made me the shirt,
her mother protested, and Kira couldn't help laughing. But it was okay, because Hazel was laughing now, too.
It was supposed to be a joke. I didn't think you'd actually wear a sweater with your dog's faces on it.
Why wouldn't I? Maureen seemed truly perplexed by this, and Hazel wrapped an arm around her and gave her a squeeze.
I don't know, Mom. Never mind. So you're the new Christmas tree farm owner?
Maureen's conversation partner chimed in, leaning forward.
So nice to finally meet you. I'm Isabel. Jeannie, did you invite her to join the book club yet?
Of course I did, Jeannie said with a laugh, finally sliding into a seat. Kira took the one next to her, in between Jeannie and Hazel.
Oh, good. You have to join. Oh, and my kids had a blast at the tree farm last weekend. You're doing a great job up there.
Kira's face heated with pride. People thought she was doing a good job. And it wasn't because of who her father was, or her family's money or connections. It was because of what she'd done.
Thank you.
The bell over the door tinkled as the newest arrivals entered. George, Andy, come in! Iris greeted them, and Kira gave a little wave to George, who dropped off a delivery of cookies at the farm.
Hey, Kira, he said, unwrapping his scarf. Wasn't expecting to see you here.
She shrugged.
I'm trying a new thing where I leave my house and actually do things and see people.
He grinned. That sounds good.
It's working out so far. And it was. She was feeling better already.
Okay, everyone, let's get started.
Kira picked up the pine bough in front of her and followed along to Iris's instructions. Wine bottles were opened and ribbons were passed around, and by the end of the evening, Kira found herself laughing and chatting and promising to come to book club. And for the first time since she moved to Dream Harbor, she actually felt like she belonged here. Maybe she hadn't screwed everything up by moving here. Maybe one of her reckless decisions had worked out just right. Chapter 24. A small woman with gray hair opened the door at Logan's house. She had on the ugliest Christmas sweater Kira had ever seen, and that was saying a lot after she'd seen the sweater with Maureen's dogs on it.
"You must be Bennett," she cooed, scooping Bennett into a tight hug before pulling back to study him. "You are the spitting image of your sister."
Bennett shifted next to her. "We get that a lot," he said, running a hand through his hair. Kira stood awkwardly beside him, ready to have this day over with. She'd stayed home with the dogs and bad movies yesterday on Christmas Eve while Bennett visited his Aunt Dot, but she'd already told Jeannie she would come to Christmas Day, so here she was, even though she felt like she was intruding on Bennett's family Christmas. But the thought of being alone on Christmas Day was too sad, even for her. She'd never liked Christmas, but she'd also never had to suffer through it alone. Chloe had always been there. So now here she was, her fake smile plastered on her face, and the pie she'd picked up at the bakery in her arms, wishing she was drunk in front of her own fireplace instead.
"And here's Kira."
The woman, Logan's grandmother obviously, turned her attention to Kira.
"Jeannie mentioned you two had been shacking up together."
Heat flooded to Kira's cheeks. Could anyone do anything in this town without everyone knowing about it? Logan's grandma patted her arm.
"Good for you, sweetie."
She winked, and Kira didn't know if she wanted to laugh or disappear.
"Nana, stop making them uncomfortable."
Logan appeared by his grandmother's side, looking every bit the big, grumpy lumberjack. He'd look the same picking out a Christmas tree, plowing her driveway, and discussing agricultural engineers with her, so she supposed it was fitting that he looked like that on Christmas Day as well.
"I think it's nice, two consenting adults finding pleasure with each other. It's lovely. Don't be such a prude, dear."
She looked up at her grandson with a beatific smile, and Kira watched as Logan's cheeks blushed red above his beard. His Nana chuckled.
"Come in, come in."
She took the pie from Kira's arms and hustled into the house. Logan sighed.
"Merry Christmas. I'll take your coats."
"Thanks."
They handed Logan their outerwear as Jeannie came over to greet them.
"Merry Christmas," she wrapped Kira in her arms. "I'm so glad you came."
"Of course," Kira answered from inside Jeannie's embrace. The woman was a good hugger. She had to give her that.
"Thanks for inviting me."
"Hey, we crafted together. We're officially friends.
Besides, I'm sure Ben wanted to spend Christmas with you," she said, pulling away and turning her attention to her brother. "Right, Ben?"
His perfect mouth was tipped down in a frown, and Kira wondered if he regretted bringing her. He'd been quiet all morning. Maybe she should have stayed home, stayed out of this part of his life. It was one thing to make friends with his sister on her own time, but a sex-only Christmas fling certainly didn't involve an extended family get-together. But again, she'd only been thinking of herself, of her own loneliness, and now she'd put Ben in an awkward position. Damn it, why hadn't she considered this before they left?
"Right, of course." He gave his sister a hug. "Merry Christmas."
"Okay, well, come in. Nana Estelle's put out plenty of snacks, and Hazel, Noah, and Annie are already here."
Jeannie took Kira by the hand and dragged her further into the house, leaving her no graceful exit strategy. Maybe she could feign a headache after a little while?
"Hey, everyone, Kira and Bennett are here."
Kira and Bennett, like they were a couple.
"Merry Christmas," Hazel called from her spot on the couch.
Noah sat at her feet and gave Kira and Ben a cheerful wave.
Hi, guys, Annie said, lifting her glass of wine in greeting. Merry, merry.
Wine. That seemed like a very good idea right now.
Hi. Merry Christmas, she managed, before zeroing in on where the drinks were laid out on the drink cart.
Hey, Annie. Hazel.
Hi, Noah.
Bennett moved away from her side as he said hello to his sister's friends at his sister's fiancé's house. God, what the hell was she even doing here, crashing someone else's holiday?
So, how did your season go? Annie asked.
She was curled up in a chair by the fireplace. The room was cozy and warm without the need for blanket doors. It was nice.
It went pretty well. We got a bit of a late start, so hopefully it'll go better next year.
Next year? So you plan to stick around?
Yeah.
Annie smiled. Great, because I sold a ton of cookies. Kira laughed.
Very lucrative for both of us.
Come, sit.
Annie scooted over, making space for Kira, and it was nice to be wedged in next to her. It was nice to be around people. God, why the hell had she been living like Quasimodo in his bell tower for the last 4 months?
Thanks.
She was not cut out to be a hermit, and for the first time, it was occurring to her that she didn't actually need to do everything alone in order to be a self-sufficient, independent person. She could have friends. She could find people she liked here in this weird town.
Huh, what a novel idea.
Jeannie and Logan had rejoined the group after stashing their coats somewhere, and Estelle bustled in and out with more trays and platters of snacks.
You should sit for a while, Nana,
Hazel suggested, but the older woman looked at her like she had 8 heads. Logan laughed.
You know she doesn't sit.
Where's Grandpa Henry at?
Annie asked, looking around, as though the man in question was hiding behind the enormous Christmas tree in the corner. Somehow, it had the kind of lurid giant lights and silver tinsel that Kira hadn't seen in real life ever. Didn't that stuff go extinct in the 70s? Were those lights even safe?
He's attempting a deep-fried turkey again, Logan said with a wince.
I hope you have a fire extinguisher this year,
Annie said dryly, taking another sip of wine. Estelle waved away her concern.
Oh, he'll be fine. His eyebrows grew back eventually.
Jeannie looked up at Logan in concern.
I'll go check on him.
Logan strode from the room, and Annie giggled next to Kira on the love seat.
It's always interesting here on Christmas, she whispered to her. So you don't spend Christmas with your family?
Nah, we do Christmas Eve together. There's like a million of us, and now most of my siblings have kids, so they like to be at their own houses for Christmas morning, Santa and all that.
Annie rolled her eyes, and Kira smiled.
Anyway, Estelle and Henry have done this Christmas Day open house for years.
Kira thought about her mother's parties, all the guests they barely knew, political connections and business associates. It was a far cry from this worn but cozy living room filled with friends and family.
Who needs another drink? Noah asked, standing up and heading to the drink cart.
Kira raised her hand.
I'll take one.
Noah grinned.
Red or white?
Red.
You got it.
Me too.
Annie lifted her empty glass. Kira smiled. Maybe this wasn't such a bad idea after all. She caught Bennett's eye on the other side of the room, where he stood having an awkward-looking brother-in-law to brother-in-law chat with Logan, who'd apparently decided his grandfather was safe for the moment. Bennett's lips tipped into a private smile at her, and something warm and unfamiliar settled in Kira's gut, something comfortable, something content. Was this what it would be like to be with him for real? To have someone to share a secret glance with across a room at a party? She'd spent so much time running from what her mother wanted for her, a stable man, someone who was husband material, someone who wouldn't embarrass her, that she hadn't taken the time to consider how nice that could be. Not that it mattered. What a shit time for that little epiphany.
Ladies?
She took the proffered drink from Noah.
Cheers,
Annie said, clinking her glass to Kira's.
To a successful new year.
Cheers,
Kira said, dragging her gaze from the man she couldn't have.
To a profitable new year.
Annie grinned.
I like you.
And just like that,
a little piece of her heart slotted back into place. Maybe she was likable. Maybe she could find people other than her own sister who would treat her kindly. Maybe she didn't need to be lonely.
I like you, too.
Annie tensed next to her.
Oh, hell no.
Her gaze had turned to the hallway, where a man had just arrived with a small blonde woman next to him.
What is it?
He's brought a date to Christmas? Annie's hiss was not nearly as quiet as she intended, and the man turned and locked eyes with her. Kira's head swiveled between the two of them.
Who is he?
He's a bastard, that's who he is. He definitely heard her and responded with a smirk and a slight dip of his head, like he was acknowledging that he was, in fact, a bastard. Kira could feel the rage emanating off of Annie.
An ex? Kira guessed.
Not exactly. Annie was still staring daggers at the man, but he turned to greet Logan and Jeannie. The woman beside him laughed nervously, and Annie nearly snarled. There were clearly forces at play there that Kira didn't understand, but she definitely wanted to.
Want me to slit his tires? She offered.
Annie burst out laughing, leaning against Kira's arm.
No, but I like you even more now.
Kira smiled, laughter bubbling out of her, too. With or without Bennett, she could still make a life here. In fact, she definitely would make a life here. It was what she'd wanted from the start.
So, Hazel, she said, turning her attention to Jeannie's other friend, when's the best time to start planting a cucumber garden?
Chapter 25. Kira was warm and soft and a little bit drunk, with her head in his lap. She seemed to be humming some combination of Jingle Bells and Deck the Halls as he ran his fingers through her hair. The ends crackled with static, the silky strands clinging to his sweater. He didn't relish the idea of going into the cold, dark night to get home. Kira smiled up at him, and his heart lurched with the knowledge that his time with her was ticking away, along with the last few days of the year. He'd almost forgotten about that over the course of the day, as they'd all talked and ate and drank. The house had been full of friends and family coming and going, of way too much food and way too many sweets. It had been a good distraction.
So, when do you head back home? Annie asked him, now that the house had nearly emptied out again.
It was just him and Kira and Jeannie and her closest friends, sprawled out on the floor and draped over chairs, full and sleepy. He wondered how many of them would just crash here tonight. He was pretty sure Noah was already snoring from his position laid out in front of the fire.
New Year's Day.
Kira wasn't looking at him anymore. Her smile had slipped.
That's too bad, Annie said, her chin propped on her arms on the coffee table.
Bennett could barely see her past the empty wine glasses.
You fit in so well here.
Yeah, Benny, you fit in so well here, Jeannie repeated from her perch on Logan's lap in the chair by the fire.
He winced. I told you, Jean Marie.
He emphasized her full name as payback for calling him Benny, and she stuck her tongue out at him.
I can't just uproot my life and move here.
I did it, Noah piped in, apparently awake again. I highly recommend it. Hazel grinned at him from her end of the couch. Kara was now stretched out between them, her cozy socked feet laid in Hazel's lap. She was the one who fit in so well here, and he was happy for her. He'd much rather think of her here amongst friends than by herself in that cold house.
It's definitely worked out nicely, Hazel said,
and Annie groaned. Gross. Hazel laughed.
Isn't it time for Secret Santa?
Yes! Jeannie shot up from her seat. I almost forgot! Bennett breathed out a sigh of relief at the topic change. He really didn't need all of Jeannie's friends joining the quest to get him to stay in town. Frankly, the woman whose head was in his lap was reason enough.
I didn't bring a gift. Kira hissed at him. I didn't know. Don't worry about it. Jeannie handed the names out weeks ago.
His sister was excited to bring their old family tradition to her friends, but Kira hadn't exactly been in the mix at that point. She still had a little worried frown on her face as she sat up. Bennett patted her knee and leaned in to whisper in her ear, "You can help me guess." She gave him a relieved smile as Jeannie passed out the gifts.
"Annie, you go first," she said, laying a sparkly red gift bag in her lap.
Annie waggled her eyebrows and pulled the tissue paper from the bag with a flourish. She peered inside and frowned.
"I know who it's from," she said. "Show us what it is first," Jeannie said, and Bennett bit down on a laugh.
His sister was always a stickler for the Secret Santa rules. She'd had a fit the year he switched the name he pulled with his cousin Jesse.
"It's a roadside safety emergency kit," she said, pulling the package from the bag. "It includes flashlight, window breaker, and a first aid kit," she read from the description on the side of the box.
"Very practical," Jeannie said, even as Annie scowled at the gift.
"And who do you think gave it to you?"
"Well, since he's given me one every year for the past 5, it was obviously Logan. And if you actually kept them in your car instead of throwing them in that bottomless pit of a hall closet, I would stop getting them for you," Logan said, arms crossed over his flanneled chest. Kira giggled next to him, and Bennett savored the sound.
"Okay, that means, Logan, you open next."
Jeannie laid a small, perfectly wrapped box on his lap, and Bennett immediately knew the giver. But he kept his mouth shut, so Jeannie wouldn't murder him. Logan unwrapped the box. He opened it, and the frown on his face immediately melted.
"Is this..."
He stopped, cleared his throat.
"Jeannie, is this..."
He looked up with tears in his eyes, and Bennett couldn't imagine what his sister had put in that little box to make that man cry.
"Look on the inside."
She was kneeling next to him now, as Logan pulled out the 2 rings that were in the box.
"What is it?"
Hazel asked quietly as Logan turned the rings between his fingers. He cleared his throat again.
"Wedding bands. Jeannie had them engraved with our initials."
Jeannie wiped the tears that had traced down her cheeks with the back of her hand.
"Do you like them?"
He just nodded, clearly still unable to speak.
"I know we haven't even picked a date yet, but I wanted to get you something special, and you surprised me with the engagement ring, so I thought I would surprise you, and
they're perfect,"
Logan said gruffly, cutting her off and tugging her into his lap before she could ramble on further.
"Oh, good,"
Jeannie squeaked as Logan buried his face in her neck, like he'd forgotten they were in a room filled with their friends.
"Okay, that's enough, you two. Jeannie, you have to open next," Annie said, interrupting their cuddling, saving Bennett the pain of seeing his sister make out with her fiancé.
He knew he liked Annie for a reason.
"Here."
She tossed the gift to Jeannie. Jeannie tore off the wrapping paper and pulled out a giant fluffy scarf.
"Ooh," Kira cooed. "Looks cozy." "Annie, is this from you?"
Jeannie asked, but Annie shook her head.
"Must be Hazel, then."
Hazel smiled.
"I hope you like it."
"I love it,"
Jeannie said, already wrapping it around her neck.
"Okay, Haze, you open next."
Hazel tore into her gift, and Bennett held his breath. He didn't know much about Jeannie's friends, but his sister had mentioned that Hazel loved plants. She grinned as she pulled out the little planter that looked like a person on a swing.
"How cute!"
"Jeannie said you were running out of space, but that one you can hang in the window." He shrugged. "Thought you might like it."
"I love it," Hazel beamed. "Thank you."
"Good job,"
Kira whispered, and he wanted to lean into her words and the softness of her body next to him, but it was his turn to open. The package was wrapped in random birthday wrapping paper. He raised an eyebrow, but the group was giving nothing away. He opened it and found a Hawaiian shirt inside.
Wow.
He unfolded the shirt, and that's when he saw that between the garish flowers were pictures of his dog's faces. He burst out laughing.
"Does everyone wear their pets on their clothes around here?"
Kira asked. "Only the cool kids," Noah said with a grin, giving himself away.
"Well, thanks, Noah."
"Oh, man, you got me."
Bennett laughed again.
"No, it's a cool shirt. Thanks, man."
Noah beamed. "You're welcome."
Okay, where's my gift?
Jeannie handed Noah a gift bag covered in pictures of fish.
Cool bag,
he said, holding it up before digging around inside. He pulled out 4 bars of soap and laid them out on the carpet in front of him.
Wood barrel bourbon, pine tar, alpine sage, bay rum.
He read off the scents one by one.
Wow, I'm going to be smelling very masculine. Who would have gotten me such a thoughtful gift?
He looked around the room, as though there wasn't only one person left.
Annie threw a pillow at his head. It was me. Gotta keep that fish stink away.
Noah laughed and threw the pillow back.
Thanks, Annie. Very thoughtful.
She winked at him.
That was a great first Secret Santa, Jeannie said with a smile. And maybe next year we can add even more friends.
She looked pointedly in Kira's direction, but didn't push it.
Very fun, Jeannie. Thanks for planning it, Hazel said. But we should probably get going.
Oh, but I'm so comfy,
Noah protested as Hazel got up and walked over to him. He'd already laid back down in front of the fire after opening his gift. She took his hands and tugged him up.
It's comfier in bed. Come on.
Annie stood too, yawning.
I guess I'll go too. Who's driving?
Jeannie asked.
Already called an Uber,
Annie assured her with a hug. I stopped drinking hours ago, Bennett said, pulling Kira up from the couch. She looked sleepy and grumpy, and he wanted to carry her out to the car, but he'd never hear the end of that. So instead, he led her to the door by her hand. Coats and scarves and hats were donned as they wished each other Merry Christmas for the 1,000th time that day, and they stumbled out onto the porch, the freezing night air shocking them into an unwelcome alertness.
Bye, Bennett. Bye, Kira,
Hazel called as they made their way to the hired car.
Good night,
Annie waved over her shoulder, and Kira waved back.
Night.
Bennett's rental car was freezing cold when they got in, and he really wished he'd thought to warm it up first. Kira sat with her shoulders hunched so high, her head had nearly disappeared inside her coat.
Should be warmer in a minute, he muttered, cranking the dials too high.
Okay.
Her voice was quiet, small.
Did you have a good time?
He asked as they pulled out of the driveway. The farmhouse twinkled with cozy lights behind them as they drove away. It filled Bennett with the melancholy that came with the ending of things, holidays, seasons, relationships. Kara was looking out the window, and he could see her face reflected in it.
I think it was my favorite Christmas ever.
Then why do you sound so sad?
She wiped a hand across her face, sniffling in a way that made Bennett want to tear the world down. She laughed a little, shaking her head.
You know, I'm trying really hard to be a good person here. I'm trying really hard not to ask you to stay, Bennett. I really am. But you are not making it easy. The fucking universe is not making it easy.
Kira, no, nope, don't say anything. We had an agreement. You promised, I promised. So that's it, okay? I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to ask you to give up your life for me.
What if I want to?
Her head whipped to face him as he drove.
You don't want to.
But you're going to tell me what I want now?
Sadness was turning into frustration, into anger.
You can't want to stay here. Maybe you think you do, but you don't. You just want to help me or whatever. I'm like a baby deer on the side of the road, and you want to pull over and rescue me, but you can't, Bennett. You can't. I have to learn to be a deer all on my own now, and you can't fall back on old habits.
Kira, you aren't making sense. She growled in frustration, and he pulled over. He couldn't have this conversation not facing her. When he turned to her, she had tears streaming down her cheeks.
Damn it. I don't think you're a baby deer.
She sniffled.
I think you're a strong, smart, gorgeous woman.
She shook her head.
Please, please don't say things like that. Kira, what are you afraid of?
What was he afraid of? Why had he agreed to this arrangement in the first place? He did fit in well here. He liked it here. He liked the people. He could be close to his family. He could be close to Kira. Just because things had failed with Nicole didn't mean it would happen again. And so what if it did? Was he just never going to try again?
This isn't real, she said. People don't fall in love in a month. It doesn't make sense.
Feels pretty damn real to me. Fall in love. He'd fallen in love with her. The realization hit him hard in the chest. She wiped her eyes.
No, it isn't. I was so lonely, Bennett, so fucking lonely. And then you showed up and it was nice to have company. That's it. That's all it was.
Nice to have company. She was trying to convince him that he'd just been a warm body to her, but it was a lie. He could see it in her eyes. She was lying about all of it, but she was pushing him away anyway.
And now you need to go back home to your real life, and I need to live mine.
Back home. Huh. How could any place that wasn't with her feel like home now? That's what you want? She nodded, her arms folded across her chest. She held his gaze a breath longer before sitting back in her seat.
I think it'd be better if we end this now, she said,
addressing the windshield instead of him.
You should probably go back to your sister's apartment.
She wouldn't look at him. Her mind was made up. And Bennett wasn't about to beg, even though he wanted to. Even though he wanted to throw himself at her feet and beg for her to see reason, to let him in, to let him stay. Instead, he put the car back into drive and pulled out onto the deserted road. It was after 11 on Christmas night. Everyone was home with their families. He fiddled with the dials. The car was suddenly stifling. They rode the rest of the way in silence until Kira's house loomed ahead of them in the darkness. Bennett pulled the car up the driveway and killed the engine. But before Kira could jump out of the car, he grabbed her wrist. She turned to him.
Things might not make sense to you, he said, his voice low and rough, but they make perfect sense to me. I did fall in love with you in a month.
She sucked in a little whimper, like his words cut her, but he kept going.
You are everything I want, and it has nothing to do with your broken house or your...
He shook his head with frustration.
Whatever it is you think about yourself, that you're selfish or not worthy or I don't know. I really don't know, Kira, because I think you're fucking perfect.
Tears rolled down her cheeks and her pulse fluttered in her wrist.
If you want me to go, I'll go.
He tugged gently and she went to him, falling into him, her lips warm and wet. And he kissed her hard and rough and fast, the taste of her tears on his tongue when he pulled away.
I'll go. But know this. You are not a bad habit. You are something entirely new. Say the word, and I will be back here in a fucking heartbeat.
He let go of her then. He couldn't look at her anymore, at her wide eyes, wet with tears, her swollen lips that he no longer got to kiss. If she wanted him to go, he would go. He wouldn't stay here another second. He couldn't. The dogs were less than pleased to be roused from sleep and ushered out the door, but there was no other choice. He stuffed the few things he'd brought over into his bag and followed them out. Kira stood on the porch, silent and stoic. She didn't tell him to stay. She didn't say anything as he threw his things into the car, and neither did he. He'd said it all, and none of it had mattered. There was nothing left to do but go. The only sound, as he pulled out of the driveway, was the whining of the dogs in the back seat, the last moments of Christmas music on the radio, and his own ragged breathing as he slowly fell apart. The lies we tell ourselves are often stronger than the truth. They worm their way into our hearts and our minds until they are all we see, all we believe. And Kira had been telling herself a lot lately. The main one being that she was not in love with Bennett Ellis. But as she sat under her Christmas tree on Christmas night, or maybe it was technically the next day at this point,
unwrapping the small present Bennett had apparently left there for her. That lie was quickly unraveling. She took another swig from the wine bottle she was drinking from and tore off the shiny red paper. "Socks," she said out loud, even though she was completely and utterly alone, again. "He got me socks." She wanted to be mad about it, mocking this silly gift, but she couldn't bring herself to do it.
"He got me fuzzy socks with little peaches all over them," she whispered, the tears starting up fresh. "What a bastard."
She pulled the blanket off the couch and curled up under the tree. Pine needles stuck to her cheek, but she couldn't seem to care. She'd fucked everything up. What were a few pine needles in her hair at this point? She snuggled the socks closer to her chest and the sharp edge of a note card pressed into her hand. Bennett's handwriting was scrawled inside. "Something to keep your toes warm."